The Pentagon says 170,000 National Guard and Reserve members are in Iraq, Afghanistan, or working on U.S. Homeland Security. They're being kept on duty for extended periods that are surprising to some of them and their families. NPR senior correspondent Juan Williams spoke to one reservist about the difficult changes in his life since returning from Iraq.
It's a beautiful fall afternoon in Northampton, Pennsylvania, near Allentown. Members of a Marines Reservist unit are having a reunion. Their official name is a mouthful, the Marines of Detachment 2, 4th Support Group. This is the first time they've come together since spending 4 months in Iraq. Sergeant Bradley King is watching steak sizzle on a grill. He compares it to what he was eating in Iraq.
Majority of the time we were eating our MREs, our meals ready to eat, which is the packaged food that is not that bad, but when you're eating it every day, it gets pretty old and pretty tiring.
Sitting at a picnic table, the company's commanding officer, 33-year-old Major Mark Bacharach, says his unit is still decompressing from their stay in Iraq.
We were activated January 14th. Some of them got closer to Baghdad than others, but we were spread out and certainly engaged in those operations and combat operations during that time away.
Life took a surprising turn for the members of the unit when they were called up. They were told to report to duty with just 2 days' notice. 40-year-old Jennifer King is married to Sergeant Bradley King.
He was supposed to be, I guess, leaving the house by 5 o'clock in the afternoon. We dragged it on. He's packing his stuff. There's so many things to get together. I'm still asking him, what do I do? How do I pay this online? You know, having him write out the procedure for me because he does our mortgage and our car payments and stuff. And then we're getting actually on each other's nerves on his departure and starting a huge fight. So our daughter, 8-year-old Melinda, actually have to say, Mommy, stop crying. Don't yell at Daddy. Let him go, because the sooner he leaves, the sooner he can come back.
Jennifer King was 6 months pregnant. 10 days after her husband left the country, the baby was born prematurely. Later, after the chatter of the picnic, Sergeant King tells how he didn't learn of the birth for several days.
I had happened to get an email from a friend of mine that had contacted and found out. And they didn't know that I didn't know, and they just said, oh, congratulations on the baby. And so I was quite panicked, and I ran into the CO's area, so I was able to get my hands on a satellite phone. And it was a couple phone calls, and I was able to get her hospital phone number, and I was able to call her right then.
When you went to your CO and said, you know, my wife's having a problematic labor, I want to go home, what did the CO say?
What would I do when I get there? I said that I just need to be there, and they said it didn't fall under the emergency leave guidelines.
The premature baby, Kylie, had to stay in intensive care for 30 days. The baby's name was a surprise to Sergeant King. He had agreed with his wife to name the baby Carly. But Melinda had a classmate with that name who picked on her. So with Daddy gone, Mom and big sister decided on a new name, Kylie. Meanwhile, Sergeant King was operating a heavy machine gun mounted on a Humvee military vehicle, escorting convoys of supplies and ammunition. He sometimes drove the trucks through war zones and into Baghdad. At home, Jennifer King thought her husband was doing the radio repair work he was trained to perform. King was under orders not to reveal too much about his activities in email or over the phone.
So you're trying to balance both worlds, and I think that was one of the things that would keep me up. It wasn't necessarily the situation there, it would be who's taking care of the home. That was the scariest thing.
Jennifer's struggle was how to best tell her husband that he had lost his job. 2 months into his deployment, the telecommunications company that was the King's main paycheck had shut down. In addition, the family dry cleaning business was struggling in his absence.
I think the third day after I came back from the hospital, I started working already, full time. I was in pain. I couldn't really stand. I couldn't sit, but I had to be there.
In early June, Sergeant King was told he was going home. The unit had been told they were being sent back to the U.S. before, and it hadn't happened. But this time, it was for real. His unit was one of the last to leave before commanders began freezing the return of reservists. Sergeant King got back to the U.S. the day before Father's Day and immediately felt under scrutiny.
And everybody's just staring at you, going, waiting for you to, like, lose your mind or, you know, do something crazy. And I didn't know if I changed. I knew that I changed because when it came to the baby, I was holding a weapon. And to hold a baby now, it's just two total different people. To be soft and kind and gentle,
And what do you think about the reservists and the pressure on families and obviously the sacrifices that your family made? Do you feel that it's an undue burden that the country's putting on reservists at this point?
At this point, no. I think that we need to realize that that's what we were there for. That's what we signed the contract for.
I still would say I'm grateful he came home when he came home, because I feel the situation is getting worse there now. I think I'd be more worried if he was still there at that point.
But there are some memories Sergeant King is not ready to face.
I have a sea bag at home of trinkets and souvenirs for people. I have a piece of a statue. Got an Iraqi uniform, an Iraqi gas mask. I mean, I've got some really cool stuff, but I just can't bring myself to open it up because it's like you immediately go back there.
Since returning home, Sergeant King has chosen to remain on active duty, helping to repair and store the unit's communications equipment. He still has nightmares about bunker attacks. He has breathing problems from inhaling dust and sandstorms. And he picked up a few bad driving habits in Iraq. King ran a few red lights in the U.S. before remembering that he's home again. Juan Williams, NPR News.